Thank you for what you've said this morning already, Lord. And Lord, we don't want to miss out on what you have for us. There's more for this morning. And just really pray that you would just do all that you want to do, Holy Spirit. So come as I speak, come as we worship, come as we chat. You can come when you want to. And we open up our lives in surrender. And also that thing called faith, Lord. We believe that you're here. We believe that you will fill us when we ask you to fill us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Looks like I'm going to have to speak. We were chatting with John Fudge the other day, and Phil and Hannah were there, and we were just talking about little things that we do when we speak. Maybe we don't know where to put our hands, or we have a twitch, or we... I don't know. But I just really pray this morning that anything that I do wouldn't get in the way of what God wants to do through his Holy Spirit. So would you be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you this morning, even if I don't say it quite right? Can I start by saying this? The Holy Spirit is for us all. There's not a special for a few, the elders, the leaders. It is for all of us. In Acts, it says all of them were filled. And then Paul encourages the Ephesians to be filled with the Spirit. It's for every Christian. It's an essential part of being complete as a Christian. The supernatural gifts, for example, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, are also available today. They weren't just for the apostles in the New Testament. They are for today. So if you're in any doubt, that's where I'm at. So this morning, as I said, we just need to make space for the Holy Spirit to come and move amongst us. And we want to allow time for that at the end. So this is where I'm going this morning. Just to, if you like, your 5 points. Have I got five? Yeah, I didn't count them. Yeah, five. So we're going to start with the promise, the gift, the baptism. Touch on some theology, maybe a bit controversial there. The purpose and receiving. So the promise. We read about the promise of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and then by Jesus himself. I can't read that. I'm going to have to... I might get to do it. No. I'm in faith. I can read it. All deluded. For I will pour out... I will pour water on the thirsty land... and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. That was a promise in the Old Testament. I love this one. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And this is talking about Jesus. I'll just read it from the wider passage. This is just an extract. It says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. We know about that period of 40 days. We're doing it in Connect groups. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them his command, this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That was the promise and it is the promise. And I've read that already. The Holy Spirit is a gift. It's a gift from a good God. It's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Just remember that. The same spirit that was hovering over the waters at the beginning of creation in Genesis. And there's other examples in the Holy Spirit, in the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit is moving. We see the Holy Spirit involved in the whole of the Bible, the whole of God's story and process of redeeming and restoring his people and creation. Our God is a good God. I love this verse. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Maybe that's the verse for this morning. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I've just had an overwhelming sense over recent times of just saying, Holy Spirit, I appreciate you. And just so grateful that Jesus left a helper, the Holy Spirit. And I keep being reminded of that song by Keith Green. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit here. Leaving your Spirit here. Thank you so much that your Spirit is here. And sometimes in our worship songs, we don't often sing to the Holy Spirit. There's only a few songs, but perhaps we need to do better at just saying, thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship you, Holy Spirit. This might be the controversial bit, maybe. I've decided to throw some questions out rather than make statements. That's a bit of a way around it. So baptism, we talk about baptism in water, and we do proper dunking, if you want to call it that. Not a sprinkle, but right under the water. And it's the same. So the Greek word for baptism means to immerse or dunk. Or I think it was used, the picture was the dye, cloth going into dye, dunking right in, or a ship that had been sunk and completely submerged. It's a bit of a grotty old ship, that, isn't it? So not just a sprinkle, fully immersed. Here's some questions. When we become Christians, do we also automatically, and maybe unconsciously, get filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit? Do we need a separate empowerment of the Holy Spirit at some stage after becoming Christians? Maybe receiving the Holy Spirit at conversion and then baptized in the Holy Spirit for service. Do we need to know the power of the Spirit to receive supernatural gifts outlined in the Bible? And there were various well thought out answers, and actually just studying it, thinking, okay, this is my experience, but what exactly does the Bible say? And there are lots of views and lots of well thought out answers. And actually I was reading about John Piper, who was actually arguing and did a paper on the Holy Spirit coming at conversion. So when you decide to become a Christian and follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes then. More recently, he's gone the opposite way and said actually we need a separate empowerment, baptism experience. And each of these views have strengths and weaknesses. And my experience, and it is only my experience, is that there seems to often be two distinct stages in the Christian life. The impartation of life at conversion, but then the impartation of power. Whatever, it seems like there's something different and significant going on. And I've got the book here. I remembered it. I was going to forget it. If you haven't read this or picked up, Roger Cole brought a copy last week. It's really good at giving a great outline, not too in-depth, but just an overview. There's a chapter on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and tongues. Really helpful. And instead of maybe being controversial in the same way, they're quite helpful, Roger Cole and Mike Bowman, who've written the book. They talk about Christian experience. No, that's not what I want. That's the one I want. About Christian experience is one event with four aspects. And this is based on Acts 2:38, which Peter addresses the crowd at Pentecost and says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." So the four aspects: repent, be baptized in water, saying goodbye to our old life and stepping into new life in Jesus, having an assurance of forgiveness, forgiven, and being sons of God. And then fourthly, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And these things may not happen in the same way, in the same order, and you can look in Acts and see that, but we need all four things to make our Christian experience complete and strong. So what's the purpose? And this is probably maybe, again, a bit more the crux of it. The account in Acts following on from the day of Pentecost results in the following. The word of God spread. You get words like strengthened, increased, grew daily in numbers, grew in power. Jesus' promise was that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So I found myself being challenged. What have I done? So when I've been prayed for, when I've fallen over, laughed, shaked over years of different people praying for me, what has been the outcome of it? And I'm not against any of those things, but God just challenging me, okay, well, so what? If there's no fruit from it, if you come down the front and get prayed for and you go out and do the same things, nothing changes, then what's the point? And when we see the day of Pentecost, there was something, there was a change. And it was to do with the word of God spreading, us being bolder in our witness. Mike and Roger list a few ones in their book, possible signs that we could link with baptism. Sort of the outcome, this is what you maybe should be expecting as some examples. Knowing God in a closer way, having a greater assurance of salvation, finding praying easier. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Discovering more victory over sin, receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit, finding the Bible coming alive, experiencing a greater joy, becoming aware of spiritual warfare, experiencing new boldness in sharing Jesus. And you can see some of those tally up quite well with what happened after the day of Pentecost. So we've talked about the promise, the gift of the Holy Spirit, talked about a bit of theology and the purpose of the Holy Spirit, and whatever way you might interpret things, and you could spend a lot of time studying, we know that we need the Holy Spirit. We must have the Holy Spirit. And my prayer has often been, I don't want to get up and preach this morning. I don't actually want to come unless you're going to turn up, Lord. Because I can go to a club, I can go to a bowls club, Phil, or something else. But actually, I want the Holy Spirit. It's about doing it together, but actually we need God's presence. I was walking along Sandgate Beach, and I was walking along the path part of it, and there was a single pebble that obviously either been chucked up or someone had thrown it, whatever, but it was all on its own. And I was just sensing that God was saying, sometimes we feel like we're the weird one. Because... Is that a testimony? You feel like the weird one? It's all right. I've always been the special brother anyway. But sometimes we feel like, actually, if we don't speak in tongues, if we don't operate in a gift of the Holy Spirit, we are seen as weird. Equally, we could seem weird if we do operate in the gift of the Spirit in a certain area. And And the Holy Spirit gives gifts to who he wants to. And I just felt like I needed to say this morning, actually, it's a gift. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift. And it's okay, and everyone's different. And perhaps that's the shift in expectation and experiences again. So how do we receive? What's it say about receiving the Holy Spirit? And that's why I prayed this morning. I thought, actually, we probably think about laying on of hands. But actually, when we look at the scripture, there's different ways and different situations, different contexts in which people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so there's a few there. I was really praying that the Holy Spirit would come, and again, that would be it. I wouldn't have to speak. The Holy Spirit is here. Just in the worship, just sensing God speaking. But, you know, sometimes it's great when the Holy Spirit starts moving at the very beginning of a meeting. There's no warm-up, and I just love it. And God's got stuff to do this morning. There were some responses to people on the day of Pentecost. They were watching, and sometimes we can feel like this, can't we? With different things of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, bewilderment, utterly amazed. Verse 12, amazed and perplexed. This is in Acts. And some of them made fun of them. So it's okay. It's okay to feel like that. And perhaps you've had bad experiences. I felt as I was driving along this morning that for one or two maybe, there's been an experience, just one time, which has been a bad experience of the Holy Spirit. And it's that is a problem for you. It's just like something you just can't get over. You just can't you can't move past it. And felt that God wanted to say, okay, it's time to put that aside this morning and move on. I'd like to pray for you if that's you. We are going to be speaking on the gifts of the Holy Spirit in a few weeks' time, so I'm not going to steal anyone's thunder. But there seems to be a clear connection between people being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. Let me just be clear. If you don't speak in tongues, it doesn't mean you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. But it's a good sign, and it's something that God wants us to do. Do we have to do it? No. And you're thinking, what is tongues? And the definition, I don't know where I got this from, I hope it's right, is the ability to speak by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in a language that has not been learnt, and that which is being said is not understood by the person speaking. These languages are sometimes recognised by those who hear them, but generally this is not the case. So there's a sort of a personal tongue where we might pray in tongues, and then a public tongue, which is slightly different. Let me read what Corinthians says. Follow the way of love eagerly and desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. So there are personal tongues when we pray by ourselves, and then there's the public tongue. And that tongue isn't a translation, it's interpretation. But it's that phrase that Paul says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a good thing, linked with the Holy Spirit. And as Paul's already said, Paul talks about encouraging all to pray in tongues, but also says the gifts, about the gifts. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. My experience of tongues and I wonder if Phil's going to remember this, but we used to have somebody who used to babysit for us. We used to go upstairs to bed, and they used to pray quite loudly in tongues. Me and Phil were like, almost like a bit unnerving. Do you remember? No, you don't? Okay. Oh, I looked after you, Phil, it's all right. But it was a bit weird until you got used to it. I remember Roger and Di telling us last week about a lady who'd not heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And when they prayed for her and she was speaking in tongues, that she said, "What? This is great. Why has no one told me about this before?" And I was trying to think of the last time we spoke about the Holy Spirit in our meetings, did some teaching on it, and talked about the gift of tongues. I can't remember. Somebody will bring it out, bring a CD to me afterwards saying, "I've got it, it was here." But it's good to talk about it and to take the weirdness factor out of it, because it's something that is good. So whatever gifts the Holy Spirit wants to give to us, he doesn't force anything on us. They are gifts. And I just felt that for me, it's about surrendering myself to God afresh and stepping out in faith. I've said all that already, haven't I? Okay, note to self, bigger text next time. Not as small as Phil's the other week, though. You knew that was coming. So we want to respond. I'm just going to pray again. And then, Lord, I just want to say thank you for your Spirit. Lord, so we say sorry where we grieve you, where we put up our thinking gets in the way, our sin, our previous experiences, the way we've been brought up. Maybe fear, the unknown, the feeling like we don't deserve a gift from you. Whatever it might be, Lord, we want to just lay those before you again. We say thank you for your Holy Spirit. We appreciate you, Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we want to come and ask that you come and just fill us again. I was thinking of Tim's picture about the water and displacing. I'm wondering if it can work the other way around. Actually, sometimes we let other stuff crowd in and displace out the Holy Spirit. I haven't got any theological backing for that. But sometimes we need to open up ourselves again to the Spirit. And I've been challenged over the last little while. When was the last time you gave a prophetic word? You've done it before, James. Why are you not doing it now? When was the last time you spoke in tongues? And just, you get out the habit. If you don't use the gifts, you get out the habit of using them. So if you're rusty this morning, then the presence of God is here. If you feel like you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, if you feel like you've never spoken in tongues before, we want to pray for you. We're not going to make a fancy thing of it. We just want to pray for you. Because it's a gift, and we want to pray that God would give you that gift. And there may be blockages in our lives that we just need to chuck out the way. And God will point out what those are. I'm going to come back and worship in it. Do you want to just come back? Yeah, you can, yeah.
So while James was talking, God put it on my heart to share a bit of a testimony. So Phil and I had been married, I think it was around our first year of marriage, and we went off to Ashburnham, to what is now called Transform. And I was desperately trying to receive from God, and there was one time when I went up to get prayed for, and I just didn't feel anything. And I mean, I'd been a Christian, I was baptized when I was 14, and there just seemed to be something in the way. And I'd come from soon after Phil and I met, we had quite a lot of upset. The church that I was based in, and there was a lot of pain and hurt and anger and bitterness that I was holding on to. And actually what I needed was the Holy Spirit to come and release me from that. And what happened was I went up for prayer and then I came back and started walking back down and just started sobbing. And then Phil and James came up around me, I think Fiona, and started praying for me. And James saw something and knew exactly what, you know, God spoke through James and God told James exactly what needed to happen and I needed to be released. And so James started to pray for me and I fell to the ground. And I've been brought up, my family are Christians, but there's always been a bit of skeptical stuff around the Holy Spirit. So for me to fall back flat on my back was something quite significant, and it was the Holy Spirit, and I needed to be released. And the Holy Spirit then came and filled me. And since then, it's been amazing. And God's put that on my heart, not because it's James speaking and God spoke through James and God was able to use James. But I believe that God's reminded me of that because there are others of you here that are sitting listening to what James is saying and just are feeling nothing. You just feel as though, well, I can't get past and I don't know what it is I need to get past. And if that's you, I'd really encourage you to come up for prayer because God wants to release you this morning.
Thank you. And what was I going to say? Actually, thank you. I mean, I was just thinking about, wouldn't it be good if people gave some testimony about their experiences, because I think there's a bit of a lie of the enemy that you're the only one that feels in a certain way, and our journeys are all very different, but just in hearing that story and I was actually, I had thought about it and I thought, well, I can't share that, that's quite personal. With Amy, she's brought it, so brilliant. But actually, there was a sense that was a gift in my tool belt that God had given me about seeing something. It was a word of knowledge, very clear as a bell. And I look back and think, okay, where is that now? What is it? What is it in me that is stopping that from happening? What do I need to do to get in that place? I think it's a closeness to God. I think it's skepticism. I think it's lack of faith. I think it's loads of things. But just wanting to say to God again, I surrender my life. I want to be somebody who walks in faith and to be used. Because these gifts, the Holy Spirit, isn't for in here. Well, it is, and it's good, but it's for out there as well. I was speaking to people like Angela Burnett with CAP. If she hasn't got the power of the Holy Spirit in her, it's a lot tougher. I'm sure she testifies to that. And just boldness of praying for people and all that kind of stuff. So that's, you talk about the purpose. That's what it's for. It's to see people come into the kingdom. It's about the kingdom advancing, about us changing so that God might get the glory, that his kingdom may be expanded. I love it when people come up the front and there's always a point in a meeting where somebody comes up and takes a risk. So this morning it was Julie, the first one that says something. And then after that, there was a trickle of God doing stuff. And sometimes we need to step out and there's always a bit of a risk. I think it's faith. I think it's just a step of faith and it opens up a door. So what I want to do is, Les, do you think you could find There Is a Redeemer? Just thought it'd be good to sing that chorus together. And then what I thought you can do, this is the risky bit. There's times when as a worship leader, and I can say this because I'm a worship leader, is feeling like the music carries on afterwards and there's spontaneous eruption in praise and speaking in tongues. And over the years, seen that happen quite a lot where we speak in tongues together and that carries on for a couple of minutes. And I thought, what? And sometimes I expect it to happen. And it doesn't, and feel like, oh, am I doing this on my own? And I don't know why that is. And I think there's maybe some unblocking that needs to be done in my own life, perhaps others.
where you felt like you've been free to do that before, but for whatever reason don't do. So this is the risky bit. We're going to sing this together just a couple of times, maybe just without the music. And then after we've sung it a couple of times, we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit and we're just going to carry on speaking in tongues together. So we're going to sing this, we're going to stand together, and I'm going to invite you to, if you've got the gift of tongues, to use the gift of tongues. We're going to pray for about 30 seconds in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues and you want to, ask God to do that for you. But carry on praising God, just giving your thanks to God in that atmosphere. So